content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Janice Peary for the North Carolina Reading Service. Welcome to Read Through Succeed, a program especially for young children. Today is the first day of April. And what do we find? What special day comes in April? Do you remember? It is Easter. That is right. And this year it's going to be on April the 20th. Now, Easter makes us think of Easter bunnies and eggs and egg hunts and Easter egg painting and looking for chocolate bunnies and all sorts of good stuff in your Easter basket. So, we're going to start this day, our program today, with a reading of The Berenstain Bears Easter Parade by Stan and Jan Berenstain with Mike Berenstain. The Berenstain Bears and the Easter Parade. It was the first day of spring in Bear Country. The last patches of winter snow were melting in the warm sun. The first spring flowers were poking up their brightly colored heads. Robins sang in the green budding trees. And at the Bear family's treehouse home, the kitchen window was wide open. Papa Bear sniffed the fresh air as he read his newspaper at the breakfast table. "Look at this," he said, holding up the front page. "Bear Honeypot says that Bear Country will have an old-fashioned Easter parade this year. There will be prizes for the best-dressed family. All are invited to attend in their brightest spring finery." "That sounds like fun," said Mama. It would be nice to have a reason to dress up in something special for a change." "You said it," said Sister. "I can wear a big Easter bonnet with all kinds of fancy frills and bows and feathers." But Brother Bear was not so sure. He was happy wearing his plain red shirt and blue pants every day. "What's the matter with our regular clothes?" he said. "Why do we have to get up?" "Oh, don't be such a stick in the mud," said Sister. "It's fun to do something different once in a while." "I don't think so," he said. "I like things to be the same." "But we wear the same kind of clothes every day," said Sister. "Don't you get tired of that?" "Nope," said Brother. "That's why I always look like me." Sister sighed and rolled her eyes. Whoops, I got stuck on this page turn. So they went up into their attic. "I would like to get out my fancy old duds," said Papa. "Remember the clothes I wore when we got married, my dear?" "I do indeed," said Mama. "You look so very handsome." "I bet they're still up in the attic," said Papa. "Let's go take a look." Papa led the way. Even Brother wanted to see what Papa looked like in his fancy old duds. The attic was full of all kinds of things the Bear family was saving for some reason or another. Papa opened the big, dusty trunk. "Here it is," said Papa, putting on his old suit jacket and looking at it. It was a little moth-eaten and much too tight. Papa Bear had obviously gained too much weight since he first got married from all the good food that Mama Bear cooked for him. When Papa tried to close it, a button popped off and shot across the room. "Whoa there, buddy," said Mama. "You're going to put someone's eye out." And that jacket surely looked funny on him. There were moth holes in it, and the buttons were so tight his shirt was bulging out the front. And so obviously Papa Bear couldn't wear that anymore. Sister poked around in the trunk and found a fancy hat. She put it on and looked at herself in a cracked mirror. "That belongs to Grizzly Gran when she was young," said Mama. "It's beautiful, Sister, but it is sort of falling apart. Bits of ribbon and feathers were coming off." "Oh, dear. Too bad. Can't wear that hat." So they decided they had to go clothes shopping. They all piled into the car. We must wear new clothes, said Mama. These are just too old. Let's go buy fancy brand new outfits. Oh, no, Brother groaned. Clothes shopping. Boring. Speak for yourself, said Sister, heading downstairs. So, in spite of Brother's moans and groans, they all got into the family car and headed to Bear Country Mall to buy new things for the Easter parade. The mall was full of bears busily shopping for spring clothes. Mama led them to a big department store. May I help you, madam? Asked her clerk. You certainly may, said Mama. My whole family needs new clothes for the Easter parade. The clerk called for some help, and soon Mama, Papa, Sister, and even Brother were trying on new clothes. They all looked splendid in their new Easter outfits. But Brother didn't think so. I look silly, he muttered, looking in the mirror. I think you look very handsome, said Sister. Ugh, said the Brother. As they drove home with their car full of boxes and bags, Brother was still grumpy and frowning. Come now, Brother, said Papa. I'm sure you'll feel different on Easter Sunday when everyone in Bear County will be dressed in their finest for the big parade. Said Brother at Papa's side and rolled his eyes. Easter Sunday soon arrived, and after church, and of course a little Easter candy, the Bear family got ready for the parade. Brother was very unhappy about having to wear a tie. I can't tie this thing, he growled. I'll show you how, said Papa, around and around and up and through. Soon they were ready. My, said Mama, looking over them proudly, what a beautiful family I have. My tie is too tight, complained Brother. And Mama sighed and rolled her eyes. When they drove into Beartown for the start of the parade, it was quite a sight. Hundreds of bears, all in their Easter best, lined the main street. Mayor and Mrs. Honeypot were up on a reviewing stand to pick out the best clothes. A brass band came marching by. Officer Marguerite directed traffic. Chief Bruno was dressed as an Easter bunny, and he handed out candy. Can you imagine that? The police chief dressed as an Easter bunny. The mayor gave the signal for the starting line ribbon to be cut. Everyone streamed past the reviewing sign. The band played an old tune called The Easter Parade. When the Bear family marched proudly past, Mr. Brother heard Mrs. Honeypot. Don't they all look darling, she said, especially that cute little Brother Bear. Brother blushed right through his fur, but then he caught sight of himself in a store window. Well, I guess I do look pretty good, he said to himself. After they all filed past, the mayor called the Bear family up to the reviewing stand. He held out a big, shiny trophy. And the prize for the best-dressed family, said the mayor, goes to the Bear family. The whole crowd cheered and clapped. Brother stepped right up to take the prize. He was very pleased with himself. Thank you, everyone, he said, taking a bow. And the rest of the family just sighed and rolled their eyes. Our next book is not an Easter book, but it's a book called Little Good Wolf by Janet Stevens and Susan Stevens Crummell. And here we go. Once upon a time, deep in the big, bad forest, there lived a family of wolves, but they were not happy. Our son is hopeless, groaned Papa Wolf, and we've tried everything, groaned Mama Wolf. And time out, extra chores, no dessert, nothing worked. He takes baths, he plays with piggies, he cleans his room, he brushes his teeth. He even reads bedtime stories by himself. He wasn't supposed to be doing that because he was supposed to be a big bad wolf. But he was not even a little bad wolf. Impossible, cried Papa Wolf. We are big, bad wolves, and you are good? A good little wolf? You will never fill my big, bad shoes. But, Papa, you don't wear shoes, replied little good wolf. I mean, you'll never be like me, yelled Papa Wolf. I'm sorry, said little good wolf. Big, bad wolves don't say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, I said, I'm sorry. Ah, cried Papa Wolf. There's no choice, Mama Wolf sighed. We must send him to bad school. So there he is, getting on the school bus. Bye, Mama and Papa, he said. Off went little good wolf on the big, bad bus to the rottenest, nastiest, most horrible school the world has ever known, the big, bad school. Ooh. So you must be the new student, snorted Prince, a bull. You're late. Giant is waiting. Lesson 1. Basic badness. Teacher, Giant. Fie, fie, poo, poo, I smell you. A good wolf? You, said the giant. Hello, Mr. Giant, said little good wolf. Wow, what nice big feet you have. All the better to stomp you with, roared the giant. Wow, what a nice big club you have, Mr. Giant. All the better to stomp whop you with. Wait, I have an idea, said little good wolf, grabbed a ball and tossed it in the air. Womp this instead of me. Giant swung. Womp! Good little good wolf clapped. What a hit! You could play baseball for the Giants. Wouldn't that be fun? Stop, cried Prince Abel. No fun allowed at bad school. Next lesson. Lesson 2. Bad attitude. Teacher is the wicked stepmother. Teaching assistants are the wicked stepsisters. Do you remember those from the story of Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs? No, sorry, that's Cinderella. The wicked stepmother and her teaching assistants are the wicked stepsisters. Pay attention, wolf, snapped wicked stepmother. To be truly bad, you must be rude, selfish, and a slob. Make messes, then demand that others clean up. Never, never, never make your own bed. Never, never pick up your clothes, and never, never, never put your toys. Give me that dress, cried, interrupted one wicked stepsister. Where's my doll? I can't find anything in this mess. It's your fault. The sisters were arguing. Wait, I have an idea. Little Good Wolf sprang into action. Hang up the dresses. Fold the shirts. Toys on shelves, puzzles here, dolls there. Now you'll know exactly where everything is and what belongs to whom. Doesn't your room look tidy and nice now? Stop, yelled Prince Abel. No tidiness allowed at bad school. Next lesson. That must be the principal, the Prince Abel. Lesson 3. Bad manners teacher is a troll. Gobble, gobble, slurp, slurp, slurp. Eat food as fast as you can, troll said, before shoving a whole big piece of pizza into his mouth. Excuse me, Mr. Troll, does your pizza taste good? Asked good little wolf. Little good wolf, sorry, I'm getting him mixed up. I don't know, troll answered. Well, wait, I have an idea. Take a small bite. Chew it slowly, said little good wolf. Taste the creamy cheese, the spicy sauce, the crunchy crust. You'll have more food in your tummy and less on your face, which is much more polite. Stop, screamed Principal Abel. No politeness is allowed at bad school. No politeness whatsoever. Ooh, that troll is really ugly. Lesson 4. Bad behavior teacher. Dragon. And there's Prince Abel. Standing there, ready to teach little good wolf a lesson. And there's the dragon, the mean dragon, lying in wait. Huffing and puffing are essential skills, especially for big, bad wolves, instructed the dragon. Blowing down houses is a must. Fire breathing is for fun, you see? And he blew out a great big whoosh of fire. You really do fire things up, cried little good wolf. Wait, I have an idea. Just think, one wolf, one big whoosh, and you could like a cake full of birthday candles. You would be the life of the party. And here is Prince Abel. Stop, bellowed Prince Abel. No parties allowed at bad school. That's it. You're expelled. School's out for you. Oh, good little wolf. Little good wolf is out of his school, and he's not really sad. He never did like that school. When the big bad bus came to take him home, little good wolf was nowhere to be found. The forest grew deeper and deeper as he walked. Alone and afraid, he couldn't go deeper. But where could he go? Having a bad day, Old Hag appeared suddenly from the darkness. How did you know? Asked Little Good Wolf. Bad news travels fast, she replied. Can I help? Well, it's hopeless. It's hopeless, Little Good Wolf said. No one likes me the way I am. They all want to change me. I see. But would you change if you could? Little Good Wolf sighed. I want Papa and Mama to love me. Oops, I got two pages at once there. That's not fun. Old Hag held up a glossy red apple. One bite and good turns to bad. One bite and Little Good Wolf becomes Little Bad Wolf, the apple of his papa's eye. But she warned, you must be careful. This apple also works the other way. One bite and the bad becomes gold. Oops, the bad becomes good. Little Good Wolf didn't know what to do. Come, my pretty, take the apple. Little Good Wolf held the apple to his mouth. Old Hag leaned closer and said, one big bad bite. Suddenly, Little Good Wolf quickly turned and ran into the forest. He was not going to take a bite of that apple. With every step, Little Good Wolf thought of how much he missed his mama and his papa. What he didn't know was that his mama and papa missed him too. In fact, their big bad hearts were broken. Howl, Papa called into the winters. Howl, Little Good Wolf called back, following that sound as his papa howled for him. Until he could see the light of their house through the trees. Mama, Papa, I'm home. We missed you, Little Good Wolf, said Papa Wolf and Mama Wolf. We missed you so much that we actually did some good things. You did? Yes, said Mama Wolf. I caught a piggy and didn't eat him. I kissed him. And I combed my teeth, said Papa Wolf. You don't comb your teeth. You brush them, Papa. Everyone laughed. We love you, son, said Papa. And Mama Wolf said, just the way you are. Little Good Wolf smiled. I love you, too. And there they are, a happy family now, all trying to be good and, I guess, succeeding. Deep in the big bad forest, there lived a family of wolves. Different, interesting wolves. And they all lived happily ever after. Or did they? What do you think? Now for another Easter story, and it's called Peter Easter Frog by Aaron Dealey. Here comes Peter Easter Frog hopping down his favorite log. Hippity-hoppity, Easter's on its weight. What do you think, an Easter frog? Hey, you're not an Easter bunny. No, but I can hop, and I love Easter. Well, so can I, said the turtle. I can't see how, though, can you? I'm trying to imagine how the turtle can hop. Have you ever seen a turtle hop? No, I haven't either. Come on, why should Bunny have all the fun? So, Peter Easter Frog goes hopping. There goes Peter Easter Frog, slopping through the meadow bog. Squishity, squashity, Easter's on its way. And there comes the turtle, trying to hop, but obviously he can't. He can swim, though, through the bog. And, whoa, you're not the bunny, said the cow. I'm the Easter Frog. Boy, can he hop, said the turtle. Where's your basket of eggs? It's too heavy. Well, maybe I can help, said the cow. Here comes Frog's friend, Easter Cow. Look who's helping Peter now. Clippity-cloppity, Easter's on its... No way, said the sheepdog. You're a cow, bunny? That's ridiculous. Not really. You're a sheepdog. Good point. Happy Easter, said Peter Easter Frog. Turtle, Easter Cow, and Dog hiding eggs with Peter the Frog. Yippity yappity, Easter's on its... Oh, he stopped again. Wait just a minute, you're not the bunny. Well, we're the bunny backup. A frog and turtle, a cow and a dog? Asked the squirrel. It's a big job, said Turtle. Besides, why should the bunny have all the fun? Asked Peter Easter Frog. Say, said Squirrel, I'm really good at hiding things. Whoops. Here comes Peter and all his friends. Is this where the story ends? Skippity stoppity. He's going through a tunnel. Uh-oh. And who's at the other end of the tunnel? It looks like... What do you think you're doing? Yes, indeed. It's the Easter Bunny delivering eggs with Peter Easter Frog. He loves Easter, and boy, can he hop. Haven't you ever wanted a little help? They all ask Peter the Easter Bunny. Peter, who de what? Asked the Easter Bunny. He looks really mad. I am the bunny, he said. And there go Peter's Easter friends. This is where the story ends. Sniffity. And that is Peter crying a little bit. Hold on, guys, said Peter Easter Frog. Hold on. And he gives each of them an Easter egg. The cow has a basket on her horn, so he puts a beautiful egg in there. He gives an egg to the cow, to the dog, and to Miss Turtle, and to the squirrel. Happy Easter, he said, giving a great big beautiful egg to the Easter Bunny. For me? Hasn't any bunny ever given you an Easter egg before? No, said the Easter Bunny. Cheers for Peter the Easter Frog. Chipmunk, turtle, cow, and dog, hippity hoppity, happy Easter day. And they all go off with the Easter Bunny. And Peter the Easter Frog is helping the bunny carry his basket. And that's the end of this story. I like that story. That was a good story. Our last story for today is Pete the Cat and the Easter Basket Bandit by Kimberly and James Dean. On Easter morning, Pete the Cat discovered that his Easter basket is missing. Where's my Easter basket, he asked. Pete looks everywhere. It's not here or there, not anywhere. Then Pete spots a bright blue dot on the floor, and then two red dots. It's a jelly bean, Pete's favorite. Pete finds another, and another, and another. It's a whole trail of colorful jelly beans. Says Pete, I wonder if these will lead to my Easter basket. Pete follows the jelly beans down the street and around the corner to Callie's house, Callie the cat. Callie, have you seen my Easter basket? Pete asks. No, said Callie, but I see a trail of candy eggs. Let's follow it, says Pete. So Pete and Callie follow the candy eggs through the yard, across the field, to Alligator's house. Alligator, have you seen Pete's Easter basket? Asked Callie. I haven't, said Alligator, but look at this trail of marshmallow chicks. We should see where it goes. Pete and Callie and Alligator follow the marshmallow chicks around the pond to Gus's house. Have you seen Pete's Easter basket? Asked Alligator. No, says Gus, the duck. But there are all these lollipops on the ground. It's a lollipop trail, says Callie. Let's follow it. So Pete and Callie and Alligator and Gus follow the lollipops out the door and up the path to Turtle's house. Hey, Turtle, have you seen Pete's Easter basket? Asks Gus. No, says Turtle, but look, there are a bunch of chocolate bunnies leading that way. Let's go, everyone shouts. So off they all go, looking for Pete's Easter basket. Pete and Callie and Alligator and Gus and Turtle follow the chocolate bunny trail to the playground. It goes under the swings and down the slide and around the monkey bars to a colorful little house in the garden. It looks like the trail ends here, says Turtle. But before it can even knock, the door swings open and everyone gasps. It's the Easter Bunny's house. Easter Bunny, have you seen my Easter basket? Asks Pete. Easter Bunny looks sad. Yes, he says. I have it. Every year I deliver all the Easter baskets, but I never get one of my own, so I borrowed yours. The Easter Bunny sniffles. I was going to bring it back to you soon. I'm very sorry, Pete. Pete smiles and hugs the Easter Bunny. That's okay, says Pete. I understand. Then Pete has a great idea. He puts some of his candy in an empty basket. He asks Callie and Alligator and Gus and Turtle to all add candy from their baskets, too. Soon, the new basket is bursting with treats. Pete hands the basket to the Easter Bunny. Happy Easter, Pete says. This one is just for you. The Easter Bunny is so, so happy. Thank you so much, everyone, he says. And he gleefully starts to eat a jelly bean from his first ever Easter basket. Pete and his friends promise to make the Easter Bunny a basket every year from now on. Sharing is the sweetest gift of all. And that's the end of our Easter stories for today. And unfortunately, it's time for us to start thinking about the end of this program. So here we go. We've run out of time for today's episode of Read to Succeed. Be sure to listen next time. I hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Janice Peary, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. For more information about NCRS, visit our website at ncreadingservice.org. If you have any questions or comments, please call us at 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to Read to Succeed on the North Carolina Reading Service.